Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And now we want to bring you what has become something of a Here and Now holiday tradition, a visit to the Louis Armstrong House. That's a museum converted from Louis and his wife Lucille's home in the Corona section of Queens, New York. It is decked out for the holidays. Ricky Riccardi is the archivist at the museum, and Matt Glazer is the artistic director for the American Roots Music Program at the Berklee College of Music. We spoke with them last year, and Ricky began by telling us about Armstrong's passion for Christmas.
Louis Armstrong probably comes maybe in second place to Santa Claus when it comes to bringing joy during the holidays. The Louis Armstrong House Museum, everything is 100% original. It looks just like it did when Louis and his wife Lucille lived there. And we have put up the tree, we've put up the lights, and people have told us that it's almost eerie when they come and take the tour because it feels like Louis and Lucille are still there. Like maybe they just ran out to the store to do some last-minute shopping and everything is in place. So there's a real holiday spirit to the place.
Well, and in a way they are. There are recordings playing throughout the house. Let's listen to one of those.
Merry Christmas, everybody. This is Satchmo. Able to sing
it. Why was he making these recordings?
The simplest explanation, two words, for posterity. It's a phrase that Armstrong uses at least two or three times over the years. We have about 750 of these tapes at the Armstrong Archives over at Queens College, and that's an example. Louis is sitting there with his friend Stuff Crouch, and they're listening to Christmas music on Christmas Day in 1950. But Merry Christmas, everybody. He's sitting in the room with one person. So he's already conscious of the fact that one day, maybe 70 years from now, people will be listening to these tapes and, you know, will feel like they're in the same room with Armstrong.
And we know one of Matt Glazer's favorites is a song called Cool Yule. Let's take a listen to that. Matt, what is it about this song that you love so much?
You know, I'm not a big fan of the Christmas season, and Satchmo is the great antidepressant without side effects. If you have seasonal affective disorder and the doctor prescribes Prozac, you might say, actually, I just need to listen to some Louis Armstrong swinging.
For me, it's always a personal highlight of every season when I'm somewhere busy, when I'm in Times Square, when I'm in Port Authority or somewhere, and through the crowd, through my headphones, through everybody yammering and on their phones, I always hear the trumpet solo on Cool Yule, and it cuts through anything.
If it can make you happy in Port Authority bus terminal, I think that's pretty good.
It's all true.
Next, we have another song. This is from a demo that Louis Armstrong made of Zet You Santa Claus.
Oh, there's Santa, you gave me a scare. Now stop your teasing, cause I know you're there. We don't believe in no goblins today. But I can't explain why I'm shaking this way.
Okay, so that was the demo of that, but here is what the final product sounded like.
I said, who's there? Who is it? You stopping for a visit? Is that you? Santa Claus!
Oh, there's Santa. Wow, Matt Glazer, what a song.
You know, certainly it's true for Louis Armstrong and Billie Holiday. They were able to take stuff that, not to put too fine a point on it, is just crap and make it into high art. I mean, you listen to the demo of that song and then you listen to Louis doing it with the large band. The difference in the performance, really, I feel like Louis Armstrong could take whatever material he had at hand musically and transform it into something life-affirming.
Then I can see old Santa in the keyhole. I'll get to the cause.
We've been speaking with Matt Glaser, the artistic director for the American Roots Music Program at the Berklee College of Music, and also Ricky Riccardi, the archivist at the Louis Armstrong House. And by the way, yes, they say you can say it either way, Louis or Louis.
This is Louis Satchmo Armstrong talking to all the kids from all over the world. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
Armstrong reading 'Twas the Night Before Christmas back in 1971. We're revisiting our conversation from last year with Ricky Riccardi, the archivist at the Louis Armstrong House, and Matt Glaser, the artistic director for the American Roots Music Program at the Berklee College of Music. I asked Matt about Armstrong's importance to jazz music.
I mean, you're talking to two fanatics. I'm sure we agree that there's certainly no one who is more important in American music, in my opinion. You could argue about other people who may be of equal importance. It was interesting that when we were listening to Louis listening to White Christmas, White Christmas is written by Irving Berlin, yep, a man named Israel Beline, a Jew from the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And that song is a very popular song written by a Jew about Christmas. Both black jazz musicians and Jewish songwriters work their way into the mainstream of American culture and put really deep hip stuff into what was otherwise not really a very hip creative life of Americans. So you get these people putting something that is like a, you swallow it and it's like a bomb that
explodes.
It's
a secret sauce, basically.
It's a secret sauce. I like that very much. So I think you are not going to get any argument from Ricky and I about the incredible importance of Louis.
Well, you mentioned Louis Armstrong listening to White Christmas. This is him listening to Nat King Cole singing All I Want for Christmas.
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth.
See, the funny thing, Matt Glaser, is that I'm sure you've heard that before, and yet it's still, you still are so amused when he comes in and talks.
Well, it's layers upon layers. He's in a room listening to a record of Nat King Cole, and he's responding to the record the way he would normally respond, and he's being recorded, and we have that recording, so it's layer upon layer. I always think of the story that Ricky told me that he, when he was recording himself, one day he was trying to get his wife interested in going to the bedroom, and finally she said, "Do you have that thing on? Turn that thing off." You know, he's trying to make sweet talk with her, trying to get her interested, and she realizes that he's recording. That I've got to hear. Ricky, I got to come down and hear that sometime.
Oh, anytime. That's our most requested tape because the discussion goes on for about 10 minutes, and I'm telling you, 20 years of marital resentment,
wow,
and everything, it all comes pouring out, and she has no idea he's recording it. You know, he tells her the horn comes first, and then you and Joe Glaser, his manager. And so finally she notices he's recording it, and she blows up, and she says, "You got that thing on, turn that off right now." And he says, "No, it's for posterity."
And while we're talking about Lucille, she and Armstrong appeared on the Mike Douglas Show together back in 1970, and Mike Douglas asks them about celebrating Christmas on the road.
Yeah. Oh, somebody said Lucille, wherever she is in the world, wants to celebrate Christmas, she just goes ahead and does it.
You always have a little Christmas tree, a miniature or something, you know.
Tell us more about her, Ricky. We don't know much about Lucille Armstrong.
Lucille was a cotton club dancer, and she was actually a pioneer in her own way in that she was the first dark-skinned African-American woman to crack the chorus line at the cotton club, which for years only hired light-skinned African-American women. So she was dancing there. She had actually traveled to London. She was in Blackbirds of 1936, and she was having a pretty decent career. But in 1939, Armstrong got a gig at the cotton club, and they hit it off. He was married at the time, but sometimes you can't stop these things. And they eventually got married in 1942. Lucille retired from dancing, but their honeymoon was six straight months of one-nighters on the road, every night in a hotel room in a different city. And Lucille said, "I did not sign up for this." So she's the one who found the home in Corona, which they purchased in March 1943 for the grand sum of $8,000. And Lewis didn't even see it. He was on the road traveling somewhere. She bought the home, fixed it up. And if you ever get out to Queens to see it, it is not a mansion by any means. It's in the middle of a working-class neighborhood. It's your typical kind of Archie Bunker home in Queens. But Lewis, growing up the way he did, so poor, I mean, with a dirt floor, an outhouse in the backyard, and living out of a suitcase, living in apartments, he never had anything like it. So the first time the cab driver brought him to the house, he told the cabbie, oh, man, quit kidding and take me to the address I told you to take me to. And the cab driver said, no, this is the place. Huh. So Lewis moved in, and that was it. From that moment on, he wouldn't leave the neighborhood. And him and Lucille, they were together there for the last 28 years of his life.
He died in 1971 in that house, in one of the bedrooms.
Indeed, yeah, in his sleep, the early hours of July 6, 1971.
Well, while I have you both here, I want to ask you what your favorite Louis Armstrong song is. And I will start with you, Matt.
I would say the video of him in Copenhagen in 1933.
The next number we're going to swing for you is one of the good old favorites. That's Dinah.
The performance of Dinah specifically. It's him in his absolute prime, and you can see him in the act of creation, and his eyes are shining, he's on fire, and the performance is just staggering. And that had the most electrifying impact on me when I first saw that on television.
Dinah, is anyone finer in the state of Carolina? If there is, then you know, show to me, Dinah, the dick not blazing, who love the city's gazing to the eyes of Dinah me. Baby, every man, one eye, shake my fine palm, cut my dynamite, change the mind, love it,
and Ricky, what about you? Favorite Louis Armstrong song?
Oh, if you want to ask me my top five, I
couldn't have done it. No, you only get one. You only get one.
For one, I'm going to say Stardust from 1931. Mm. There's so many great instrumentalists, so many great singers, but Armstrong's the only one who completely transforms the way people play instrumentally and the way people sing. And all you need to do is listen to Stardust. And you should familiarize yourself with every other version of Stardust first, Nat King Cole and Sinatra and whoever else you could find. Then listen to Armstrong. Listen to how he plays it, how he sings it, how he kind of deconstructs it and turns it into something so new, fresh, exciting, swinging. And he's the whole record. He's the whole show for 3 minutes. It's pretty much everything you need to know about the man.
Well, Matt Glazer, Artistic Director for the American Roots Music Program at the Berklee College of Music, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And Ricky Riccardi, Archivist for the Louis Armstrong House, which, by the way, is still all decked out, right, Ricky, for the
sure
holidays?
Sure is, yeah, indeed.
Visit if you're in Queens. Thanks, Ricky.
Thank you.
Our conversation from last year. This is Here and Now.
Such lonely night. Oh, baby, lonely night. Dreaming of a song, melody, memory, and I'm once again.